Hey, crowd participation, all right, crowd participation moment. By show of hands, how many of you in the house, overflow, all the campuses, online, you're planners. You are planners. All right, there's all the planners. All right, the other half of you, how many are the spontaneous fun people? Okay, just joking, not saying planners aren't fun. Some of you are already offended. You're like, but I plan my fun. I am fun, and it's planned in, and it will end on time. I'm a quasi-planner. That's what I call myself. Half planner, half not. All right? Like, I want some plans, but I also want to have some flexibility and some spontaneity. Anybody else with me? In that? Okay, great. You're in that. I like my plans not to be changed. If your plans get changed, I'm like, relax. Just flow with it. It's going to be okay. If my plans get jacked up, I'm like, what is your problem? We have plans, and we need to stick to these plans, right? And I would propose that where we entered the Easter story this morning, these women had some plans. They had some things in mind of how this morning was going to go, that they would show up to the tomb. And the Bible says that they had prepared spices. So you know they were planning. They had got the spices. Some of y'all, you're going to mom's house after church today. She's been preparing. Come on, I already made you hungry. But they'd been preparing spices. They had a plan in mind, and they were going to the tomb that morning. And the thing they didn't expect to see was an empty tomb. Now, some of you may not know that. We in hindsight now call it Good Friday, right? The day that Jesus died on the cross. It wasn't good to them. We only call it that in hindsight. And Saturday was a day of silence. To them, it was a day of grieving, and it was a day of pain, and it was a day of mourning. And Sunday, we call it Resurrection Sunday, and we're celebrating, and it's amazing, and it wasn't amazing for them. I'm sure they lost sleep that night. I'm sure that they were overwhelmed with grief and sorrow and tears, and I imagine a myriad of questions. What had they just given 3 years of their life to? They were not expecting that, but what they had in mind for resurrection morning wasn't what Jesus had in mind. And I just wonder if in your life you've hit some moments of this is not what I was expecting, and this is painful, and grief and loss and sorrow in your own life, and you just had in mind that this is just the way life is going to be, and this is just what I'm going to get out of it, and this is maybe for some of you think this is what I deserve because of the choices I've made. And I just want to encourage you on this Easter Sunday that what you have in mind isn't what God has in mind for you. That we serve a God that is always up to something bigger and better than what you can see or what you can imagine in your mind. The resurrection morning shows us that. It shows us that God was up to something so much bigger and so much greater. But these women were not expecting an empty tomb. And something in between the time they had with Jesus and Sunday morning had caused them to lose all hope. Caused them to lose all belief and all faith and any kind of level of expectation. And I don't blame them for it. Sometimes we read about biblical characters and we're like, well, why didn't you just do this? And why didn't you just do that? And it's like, because we have the whole story. They're living in the middle of it. What if people followed you around going, why didn't you just do this? Why didn't you make a different choice? And why'd you date her? She's crazy. And why didn't... Don't amen that. If you're sitting beside... Anyways... Something had caused them to lose hope, and I just wonder if maybe it was the experiences they had leading up to what we call Resurrection Morning. If we could rewind a little bit. Remember when you could hit play and rewind on cassette tapes at the same time? Come on, somebody. All right, if you were in your 30s or younger, Google cassette tapes. It was these plastic things, it had reels in the middle, and you would play and rewind so you know where you were, know where you're stopping. If you wanted to get a girl, you made a mixtape. Yeah. Can I get an amen in the house of God? Put a little Michael Bolton on that. Yeah. Put a little Luther on that. Vandross, yeah. Hey girl. Yeah. All right. You make playlists. You ain't got nothing on us. We made mixtapes. Right. Took time. You had to have a double cassette tape player. Anyways, I digress. Jesus has been beaten. And the Romans were experts at crucifixion, and they were experts at how they tortured people before they would die on a cross. And Jesus would have been beaten with what's called a cat of nine tails. It's a whip with nine leather strips, and on each strip is fragments of bone and glass and rock. And not to be so graphic, but this is what they would do. They would whip, and so they would wrap the belt, the whip around your torso, And then instead of letting it drop and then whipping you again, they would let it wrap around you. And as soon as it did, they would yank it so that the flesh would be torn from your body. Jesus was over and over and over and over again whipped with this cat of nine tails. And then he's a crown of thorns put on his head, and thorns about 2 inches long, not like a little thorn from a rose book, a long thorn. And it's driven into the flesh around his skull. And then he is laid on a cross with nails through his wrists and nails through his feet. And then they watch him die this brutal death. They watch blood and water flow from his side as a spear is jabbed into his side. And I don't know about you, but I don't blame the women for coming resurrection morning and not expecting resurrection, because hope had been lost. What a brutal death that they watched him die. And I imagine there had to be so many questions. If you would just put yourself in their situation for a moment, there had to be many, many questions they had. They'd given their life. They had followed. They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen him heal the lame. They'd seen blinded eyes open up. But now all of that, was it for nothing? Was everything that he taught a fraud? What was this all for? Did I waste 3 years of my life giving energy and investment to this? And now he's dead, and they didn't expect to see resurrection on that morning, on that Sunday morning, because hope was lost. And I just have to wonder in your life, if there haven't been moments in your life and experiences in your life that have drained the hope out of you, that have drained the faith out of you. It's not that you don't know Jesus. It's just that you're not believing necessarily that anything good can come from knowing Jesus. That hope has been sucked. Maybe it's the relationship that fell apart. Maybe it was the betrayal of a friend. Maybe it was the failure of your career. Maybe it was the financial implosion. Maybe it was the anxiety that overwhelms you and causes restlessness where you barely sleep at night. I don't know what you would fill in the blank with, but I know this, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if I had to guess, there's some of you in the room that have had hope drained out of you. That there was a moment where you had a joy in your heart and hope in your future, and there was something in you that believed for something more, but then life happened and life came after you. And I would propose that there is a real devil, and there is a real enemy of our soul, and he wants nothing good for you. And arrows came and arrows came. And after so long, you were like, I just don't have any more left. I don't have any more energy left. I don't have any more to give. I am out of it. And so you are moving through life, but you're not moving through life with expectation and with faith and with belief and with there any hope inside of you. And I just came to remind somebody on this resurrection day that we serve the God who makes dead things come back to life, that we serve the God who can revitalize faith inside of you. That even though you may think in your mind that there's no way God could move, and maybe for some of you, you think there's no way God would want to do anything in your life because of the life that you've lived, I just want you to know there's nothing you've ever done that puts you outside the reach of the grace of a loving, merciful, kind God. I just want to remind you today that our God is well able to do exceedingly abundantly and above anything you can ask, think, or imagine. I don't know what you have in mind, but it doesn't really matter, because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than... Come on, somebody, on this Easter Sunday. I hope faith is rising inside of you again. Hope is coming back inside of you. We serve the God of the impossible. I don't know what religious tradition you grew up in. I don't know what background you came from. I don't know if you don't have any church background at all. I don't know if you walked in today and you were like, why are people in line? And that guy rap, was that allowed in church? And is the band behind the screen because they messed up last Easter and so they hit them this year? Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. But here's what I want you to know, is that we serve a miracle-working God. I want you to know that he is alive and well, that he didn't rise from the dead and then die again, that he is alive and well, and he's sitting on the throne. And it may look chaotic in the world around you, and it may feel chaotic inside of you, but I want you to know that our God is in control, that he's still a miracle-working God, that he's still healing bodies, that he's still setting the captives free, that he's still restoring marriages. You'd be like, oh, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I've seen it. I've watched it with my own eyes. I've experienced it in my own life. I am an eyewitness. In 19 years, I've seen cancer disappear from a body. Over these 19 years, I've watched marriages come back together. Over these 19 years of pastoring, I've watched children far from God come back to God. I've seen depression lift. I've seen addictions be broken. I've seen alcoholics walk in, and I've seen them walk out clean. He's a miracle-working, wonder-working Savior. There's power in His name. And if you've given up hope, He hasn't given up on you. And if you've given up faith, He hasn't given up on you. And I believe you're in the house today, and I believe you're in this place today because a loving God and a merciful God and a kind God, He's not up in heaven with His arms crossed waiting for you to mess up so He can zap you. He's proved on the cross that His arms are wide open, and He stands waiting for you to come. And He says, all who will come. What kindness. What mercy, what love. These women didn't come having in their mind resurrection. They came expecting to find a body, but God was up to something so much better. And I just want to propose to you today that you may not have come here today expecting anything other than to have a nice Easter service and wear a great outfit. You did good on that. Thumbs up, two thumbs up. But I think God had something else in mind, and it is to meet you in a way your soul's never been met, in a way that only the Savior can touch you. It says they came and they went to the tomb and they did not find the body of Jesus. I've been preaching an Easter message this is my 19th Easter message, because when you're the associate pastor, you don't get the big weekends. So I never got the big weekends till I became the senior pastor. When I was the youth pastor, I didn't get the big weekends. I got Labor Day. Come on, somebody. You got to cut your teeth on something. Labor Day, Memorial Day, July 4th. Associate pastor role. That's what I used to do. And every year I'm like, oh God, please help me see something new. Because every year, the story is the same in the Bible. I don't know if y'all know that. Every year you pick it up, He dies on Friday and He gets up on Sunday. Yes. And some women come to the tomb and they find an empty tomb. Yes. And then every year, all y'all show up expecting me to have something fresh to say. That encourages you in a new look. If I don't, you leave going. I think He said that last year. So I've just determined whenever I don't see anything new anymore, I'm moving. I'm just leaving. I'm kidding. So I'm reading it. And this little phrase jumped off the page at me in a way I've never seen it. It said, they did not find the body of Jesus. I think a lot of times in life, we spend our energies talking about what happened to us. How many of you know it can be just as painful what didn't happen? The marriage that didn't make it, the job you didn't get, the career that didn't work out, the friend that didn't stick around, the parents that didn't stay together. Sometimes the grief and the loss in our life can be what didn't happen, not what did happen. They didn't find the body. I wonder if you've ever been in a didn't situation. It didn't work out. It didn't go. This is where these women are, and they're at the grave of what didn't happen. And here's what I know about us is that we can get stuck in our lives at the grave of what didn't happen. And for many of us, you could fill in your own blank. I don't know what it is, but you find yourself stuck at the grave. And you may be like, Pastor, I'm not stuck. I've moved on. Here I am. I've got up and I got out and I did my thing. No. You can physically have moved on from something, but mentally and in your heart not have moved on from it. And here's how you'll know is because when you smell that smell, it all comes back and all those emotions come with it. When you drive by that place, it all comes back. When you walk into that room, it all comes back. When you see those people, you turn down the other aisle in the grocery store, and it's all right there at the surface. Why? Because we can physically be moving on and going to work and parenting and going to school and going to college and doing our thing, but internally, we are stuck at the tomb of where things have died in our life. And I don't know what your tomb is. Maybe the tomb of regret. It may be the tomb of loss. It may be The tomb, we all have a tomb in our life if you've lived any amount of life. Maybe the tomb of hurt. I don't know what name you would put on it. But I know it's the place where we go, why God? Where are you, God? Why'd you let me make that choice? Why did I walk down that road? How did I end up here? I didn't expect to be at this point. I expected to be further on in my life at this point in my life. God, what is going on in the middle of all this? And here's what I've seen over so many years of pastoring people. Is we do just what those women were going to do. Be like, what are you talking about, Pastor? Here's how I know they were not expecting resurrection, because they brought spices with them. You're like, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, in that culture, they didn't embalm bodies. They didn't have the technology yet. And so the bodies would naturally decay and die and decompose and smell. Y'all following with me? All right, let me give you a biblical example of this. Jesus goes to Lazarus. You ever heard the story of Lazarus? Lazarus has died. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus shows up, Mary and Martha. They're like, hey, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. You could have healed him. But how many of you know that sometimes Jesus doesn't want to do the miracle of healing? He wants to do the miracle of resurrection, which is a better one. What a better story to tell. What if Lazarus had been like, yeah, I was sick, and then Jesus healed me? Now he gets to walk around and be like, I used to be dead, everybody. Bam. How about that? Now I'm alive. Holler at your boy. And so he says, roll the stone away, because I'm going to call him out from the grave. And they said to him, I grew up on the King James Version of the Bible. That's the old King's English. They said to him, surely he stinketh by now. If you want to speak King James Bible, just add ETH to every word and say a lot of these and thous. These and thous shall noteth. He stinketh by now. Why? Because they didn't have an embalming system. And so they roll the stone away, and what does he do? He calls Lazarus' name. He says, Lazarus, come forth. I heard one preacher say that if he hadn't called Lazarus' names, every dead body in earshot would have came out of the grave. He had to be specific, because Jesus has that kind of power. He said, Lazarus, come out of the grave, and Lazarus came out. He was mummified, y'all. You get it? He's wrapped up. Here's how I know, is because then Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Here's what I want to remind you of today. This is just a free little insert. Is that only Jesus will call you out of dead things, but he has the power to set you free from the things that got on you in the tomb. He's not just in the business of forgiving your sins. He's in the business of giving you freedom from all of your yesterdays so you can be everything God wants you to be in all of your tomorrows. All right, that's not part of the message. Let's keep moving. And so the women brought spices, and they would also bring perfumes to put on the body to cover the smell. And this is what we do, because we don't have the power to fix the thing. Ultimately, we just throw spices on it. And so we can't fix the relationships that die. And so the best we can do is throw some spices on it to cover up the smell. And we can't fix the issue, the pain, and we can't fix the grief, and we can't fix the loss, and we can't fix the things in our life that are causing that. You live life long enough and you'll learn that you are limited in your power. You can only go so far. You are not really in control of the whole thing at the end of the day. And so what do? We just throw spices on it. So one relationship breaks up and we think, okay, well, I need to get another one. I'm just throwing spices on it. And if I could just make a little bit more money, that's just throwing spices on it. And if I could live in that neighborhood and drive that car, or if I got accepted to that college, and I'm not against progress and advancing and being successful. Hear me, I'm not against any of that at all. I'm just saying, if we think those are the things that are going to get us unstuck from the tombs in our life, we are throwing spices on dead things, and at best, we are covering up the smell, but we're not fixing it. We're kind of doing like if you've ever raised middle school boys and they put cologne on instead of a shower. It's a mixture of nice and stinketh. But what they really need is a shower. And can I tell you something? Jesus can give you a shower that can wash away every sin, every issue, every blemish in your life. You don't have to live your life throwing spices on dead things in your life. Because underneath grief and underneath pain and underneath sorrow and underneath all these things and underneath evil is the core issue that we all have in common. And it's an issue called sin. Now, maybe you're thinking, All right, he's been encouraging till now, but now he's going to beat us over the head. I knew it. He's going to tell me how horrible I am. No, sin, the word sin simply means, in the original language, means to miss the mark. It's an archery term. It means there's a bullseye, and none of us can hit it, no matter how good our aim. Why? Because the bullseye is God's standard, and God's standard's perfection. Let me back up. If there is a God, which obviously I believe there is, then I would propose that that God gets to set the standard, and we don't get to argue with him. If he's God, then kind of the position of being God is you get to set the rules. Are y'all tracking with me? It kind of comes with a position, and none of us have that. None of us are God. And he has said the standard is perfection. Book of Matthew, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And the problem is none of us can reach it. Why? Because we miss the mark. And because we miss the mark, what does that make us? It makes us sinners. That's not a condemning statement. We're not mistakers that make mistakes. We're sinners that sin. And some of you are like, well, I'm morally pretty a good person. I don't sin. We're all born with sin. And if you don't believe me, you haven't yet had a toddler. I did not have to train my toddlers to lie, to be deceitful. I didn't have to train them to roll their eyes. I didn't have to train my teenager either. You know which one I'm talking about, of the two. Why? Because hardwired in the DNA of all of humanity, thank you, Adam and Eve, is this thing called sin. And it's a problem we cannot solve. And so you know how we try to fix it? We bring our own spices and perfume. And we spend time, and some of us spend tons of money trying to cover the stench of the sin, the death that is innately in the sight of all of us. So this is the whole reason that Jesus came. Jesus came. God didn't want it that way. He doesn't want you to be separated from him. And so God sent his only son, Jesus, into the earth through the womb of a virgin, lived the life you and I could never live, a perfect life, died the death you and I deserved on the cross. Why? To pay the penalty for our sin. This is the good news of Easter. See, every other religion in the world tells you how to get to God. Every religion, jump through this hoop and read this and do this thing and go through this thing and make this homage and make this and do all these things. And then just maybe, it's not even a guarantee, maybe when you get to God, then maybe he'll be pleased with you. Christianity is the only religion in the world where God said, no, they can never get to me. So I'm going to take on human form. I'm going to put on the flesh. I'm going to walk the road they walk. I'm going to face the grief. I'm going to face the sorrow. I'm going to face the betrayal they face. And I'm going to do it without sin so that I can give my own life on a cross to pay for their sin. You know the saying, if you do the crime, then you do the time. The reality is we did the crime and Jesus did the time for us. This is why I say, what a loving God. What a merciful Savior. That he would give his only son so you and I could have life and life to the full. So that our sins could be forgiven, past, present, and future. See, the Bible says this in the book of Romans. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know, the thing about a gift is it can be offered to you, but you have to take it. The other thing about a gift is that it's free in its very nature. If someone ever gave you a gift and you were like, well, I'm going to Apple Pay you. I think you spent about $35. That would be insulting. Why? Because the nature of a gift is that it's free. And so you can't earn your way to God. You can only receive your way by receiving this free gift. And he says, how do you receive it? By faith. The reality is all of us have faith in something. I think there's probably a few categories. Some of you may be placing, maybe you're here and you're placing your faith in the hope that there is no God. That's a big leap of faith you're taking. Maybe some of you, you're placing your faith in the hope that your good will one day outweigh your bad, and in heaven there'll be some kind of scale system, to which there's not, according to the scripture. I'm just proposing that maybe you should place your faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross and the proof he gave us in the empty tomb, that he's the one with the power to transform us from the inside out. Religion says, get transformed from the outside in. Stop saying that. Cut your hair. Wear this. Don't do that. Jesus says, no, no, no. Invite me in. I'll start changing you from the inside out. I'll change your want tos. Well, Pastor, how do I know that I know Jesus? There'll be a before Jesus and an after Jesus you. You know, like the pictures like 235, 160. There'll be a before Jesus and an after Jesus me. Because I didn't meet religion. I didn't meet a denomination. I didn't meet church membership. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned, have you met Jesus?
Amen.
Do you know him? Is there a before you and an after you? Is there an old you that used to have attitudes and reactions and thought about things a certain way, and then after Jesus, they're just like love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, is there a new you, a transformed from the inside? And if there's not, then today's your day. This is your moment. No matter where you're seated, no matter if you're joining us online, I want to give you an opportunity to receive this free gift, and you do it by faith. The Bible says if you confess him as Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And so I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you would bow your head and close your eyes with me at every location. I just ask that no one be moving around in the overflow. This is a God moment for so many people. And the Bible says that if you'll confess him as Lord, that simply means today, I'm making the decision to say, Jesus, you're calling the shots. I'm not calling them any longer. And you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the resurrection that we celebrate today. Then according to the word of God, not according to Daniel, according to the word of God, you will be saved. And so in just a moment, we're going to pray together out loud as a whole church. We do this every week. No one prays alone. No one walks the journey alone. Before we do, I just want to know who I'm praying with, either myself, your campus pastor, or your overflow host. We'll be looking. No one will come to you. No one's going to point you out. But if you say, Pastor, that's me, I need a fresh start today. I need a new beginning. The Bible says in Christ, all things are made new. If you'd say, I need this Easter to be an Easter of new beginnings for me, then when I count to three, I want you just to shoot your hand up high. Keep it up high enough, long enough for myself to see, your campus pastor, your host. And then we're going to pray together. On three, this is your moment. God's speaking to you and you know it. Then you shoot your hand up on three. One, two, three. You just shoot it up high. God bless you. Dozens and dozens of hands. God bless you. Incredible. Just keep that up. Every campus, in the overflow. Beautiful. I see you in the very back. I see you in the uppers. You can put them down. Church, let's pray this out loud for the benefit of all those hands that just went up. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said a big amen. Well, put your hands together and celebrate all those who made that decision. Amazing. Amazing.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.